This one had felt different, though. It was a Buddhist monastery like no other. Locked in day and night, surrounded by high stone walls, and with no way of contacting anyone on the outside. At times it had felt more like a prison. I had no one to blame but myself, of course. After all, I'd gone there of my own free will. It's just that, well, traditionally, monasticism is a little different from the mafia. It's not usually the case that once you become a monk, that's it, for life, with no way out. In fact, on the contrary, Buddhist monasteries are known and respected for their tolerance and compassion. So how I'd ended up doing a bunk over a 12-foot wall to get away from this one really was a mystery. It had all started a few years earlier, when I made the decision to pack up and head off to Asia to become a monk. I was at university at the time, studying sports science. It may sound like a dramatic change in lifestyle, but it felt like one of the easiest decisions I'd ever made. Understandably, my friends and family were slightly more apprehensive than I was, perhaps wondering if I'd finally lost my mind. But all of them were nonetheless supportive. It was a different story at university, however. On hearing the news, my head of year suggested that a trip to see the doctor for some Prozac might be a more sensible option. As well-meaning as he might have been, I couldn't help thinking he was missing the point. Did he really think I was going to find the type of happiness and fulfillment I was after in a bottle of prescription medicine? As I walked out of the door of his office, he said, "Andy, you'll regret this decision for the rest of your life." As it turns out, it happens to be one of the best decisions I've ever made. Now, you may be wondering what kind of person suddenly decides one day to head off to Asia and become a Buddhist monk. Perhaps you're imagining a self-medicating student who'd lost his way. Or a creative type, with a desire to rebel against a consumerist society. But the reality was actually far more mundane. At the time, I just really struggled with my mind. Not in a straitjacket kind of way, you understand. But I struggled with the endless thinking. It felt as if my mind was permanently switched on, going round and round like a washing machine. Some of the thoughts I liked, a lot of the thoughts I didn't like. The same was true of the emotions. As if a busy head wasn't enough, I felt as though I was always drifting into unnecessary worry, frustration and sadness. They were quite ordinary levels of emotion, but they had a tendency to spin off out of control every now and then. And when they did, there was nothing I could do about it. It felt as though I was at the mercy of these feelings and would get blown around by them. On a good day, everything was fine. But on a bad day, it felt like my head would explode. Given the strength of feeling, the desire to train the mind was never far from my thoughts. I had no idea how to do it properly, but I'd come into contact with meditation at a very early age and knew that it offered a potential solution. Now, I wouldn't want you to think that I was some kind of child prodigy and spent my teenage years sat cross-legged on the floor, because that's most definitely not the case. I didn't take up the full-time study of meditation until I was 22. But my first moment of headspace that I experienced at the age of 11 most definitely became a marker for what was possible. I'd love to say that it was a yearning to understand the meaning of life that motivated me to sign up for that first meditation class. But the truth is, I went because I didn't want to feel left out. My parents had just separated, and looking for a way to cope, Mum had signed up for a 6-week course. Seeing as my sister was going, I asked if I could go along too. I guess I just got lucky the first time I tried it. I didn't have any expectations, so couldn't project any hopes or fears onto the experience. Even at that age, it's hard to ignore the change in the quality of mind that meditation can bring about. I'm not sure I'd ever experienced a quiet mind before then. I'd certainly never sat still in one place for such a long period of time. The problem, of course, was when I didn't get the same experience the next time I tried, or the time after that, I started to get very frustrated. In fact, it was as if the harder I tried to relax, the further I moved away from a place of relaxation. So this was how my meditation began, battling with my mind and getting increasingly frustrated. When I look back now, I'm not really all that surprised. The approach I was shown was a little far out, if you know what I mean. The language used was more 1960s than 1980s. And there were so many foreign words that I used to just switch off in class. And then there was a constant reminder to just relax.